This podcast is sponsored by Merkle B2B. Curious to know how Merkle B2B can connect you with the right audience? It's not magic. It's the integration of data, technology, and creativity. Discover more at MerkleB2B.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, January 25th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Facebook says it helps get millions of people in some of the world's poorest countries online for free. But it turns out many of them are actually being charged. The Wall Street Journal has reviewed internal company documents showing that glitches in the system mean users end up being charged amounts that collectively add up to what's estimated to be millions of dollars a month. On today's show, our tech reporter Justin Scheck joins us to discuss how these fees are leaking their way into services that are meant to be free, and what it tells us about Facebook's challenge in attracting users in developing countries. That's after these headlines. Google is facing another lawsuit. This time, the Alphabet unit is accused of deceiving customers by recording their location, even after users tried to turn off the company's tracking on their smartphones and web browsers. In a lawsuit filed Monday, Washington, D.C.'s attorney general claims Google continued to track people's movement using information from its search engine, Google Maps app, Wi-Fi, and Bluetooth services. Similar suits are being filed in Indiana, Texas, and Washington state, according to the state's attorneys general there. Google disputed the allegations, and a spokesman said the case is based on inaccurate claims and outdated assertions about its settings. Our tech policy reporter Ryan Tracy says Google has faced a number of challenges over the last few years, but the lawsuits may be the most substantial.
It really has been a rough few years for these large U.S. technology companies in Washington. They've been under a ton of scrutiny, a lot of congressional hearings targeted at them, a lot of legislation. But in a lot of ways, you know, the lawsuits are the most tangible potential threat they could face because Congress really has been deadlocked in terms of passing, you know, a privacy bill, for example, that would deal with some of these location tracking issues. The other place where this fits in is the Federal Trade Commission, which is under new leadership in the Biden administration, is considering privacy rules. And this is something that they could take up if they go down that road.
The board of Peloton is being pressured to fire the connected fitness company's CEO and explore a sale amid slowing sales and a plummeting stock price. Activist investor Blackwell's Capital is pushing for the changes, according to a letter the investor made public on Monday. Over the weekend, the Wall Street Journal exclusively reported that Blackwell's had acquired a significant stake of less than 5% in Peloton. Peloton's fitness equipment was hugely popular at the start of the pandemic, but last week the company said it was resetting production levels to adjust to seasonal demand and reviewing its staffing levels. Peloton's stock is down 80% from its high. And airplane maker Boeing is doubling down on its plans to develop pilotless air taxis for short flights in and around cities. The company is investing an additional $450 million in Wisk, its air taxi joint venture with Google co-founder Larry Page. Wisk is developing a 3-to-4-seat taxi that can take off and land vertically like a helicopter. Several startups, as well as multinational manufacturers like Airbus and Embraer, are working on their own air taxis, but focusing on piloted versions that can later be made autonomous, assuming regulators first approve new aircraft with crew. All right, coming up, Facebook promised users in developing countries free access to its platform. How did so many of them end up getting charged? We'll discuss after the break.
This podcast is sponsored by Merkle B2B, driven by data, enabled by technology, powered by creativity. We can help connect you with the right audience at the right place and the right time. Learn more at MerkleB2B.com.
For years, Facebook has been looking for new user growth in developing countries, places like Pakistan, Indonesia, and Peru. But many people there can't afford internet access. So, to help things along, Facebook has set up a number of different programs, partnering with cellular carriers with the promise of getting people online for free. But the Wall Street Journal has reviewed documents from Meta, Facebook's parent company, showing the programs don't always work as they're supposed to. In some instances, users have been charged for browsing a limited version of Facebook and other sites that are meant to be free. These documents are separate from the cache of information that formed the basis of the WSJ's Facebook files investigation, and they show in the year that ended July 2021 that cell carriers charged the users of Facebook's free data products an estimated $7.8 million a month. Joining us to discuss how this happened and what Facebook's response has been is our tech reporter, Justin Scheck. Thanks for being here, Justin.
Thanks for having me.
So, Justin, does Facebook know why some users are being charged?
So it seems like a simple thing. It seems like either it's free or it's not free, but it's actually pretty complicated, where in free mode, you're only supposed to see text. You're not supposed to see videos. And there are some other problems around the margins, but the biggest problem seems to be that videos are showing up on Facebook when it's in free mode. And if you watch a video in free mode, it draws down your paid data plan. And it becomes sort of a technical problem where Facebook has to have software that identifies videos and excludes them, or else if a video does show up, warns a person, if you watch this video, you'll get charged for it. And those systems haven't always worked. Sometimes they don't work.
So how long has Facebook known about this problem, and what was the company's reaction when the issue was raised internally?
Well, we've known about it for more than a year from the documents we've seen. And the problem was raised internally by some workers who said, you know, this is an issue kind of broadly. The whole point of these programs is bringing people online who can't really afford to pay for the internet. So to charge them when we say it's free is problematic, also violates what Facebook calls its transparency principle, which is that users know when they're being charged and when they're not being charged. So people within the company wanted to try to fix it and wanted to do something about it. The first hurdle they ran into is they have no idea how much it's happening, because Facebook's not getting the money. The cellular carriers are getting the money. Facebook doesn't have access to the data from the cellular carriers, and the cellular carriers may not even know how much of the data someone's using is when they're in Facebook or when they're in free mode. So they have to do a series of estimates that are pretty broad and very, you know, a lot of guesswork involved. So they had trouble quantifying it. What they did do is they tried to fix some of the technical glitches, and what the company says now is they fixed some of them, but not all of them. So they say the problem is not as bad as it was before.
Right. You mentioned, you know, this leakage, it's not earning money for Facebook, it's earning money for the mobile carriers. But can you describe a little bit about the relationship that Facebook has developed with these local carriers to start these programs?
Yeah. So that's sort of the key here. Facebook is highly dependent on them. For these programs, Facebook is trying to bring millions and millions of people onto Facebook and is dependent on the carriers to do so. And the relationship has been somewhat fraught because Facebook's dependent on them and wants them to give people data for free. The way these guys make money is by charging people for data. And so how does Facebook convince them to give away data for free? And there's been a lot of back and forth between Facebook and the carriers, and it's basically come down to Facebook has to try to prove to the carriers that they can get something of longer term value by giving something away for free now. And so the way a lot of these data plans work is I'll prepay. I'll buy like $3 worth of data. And the carriers prefer what they call loans, which is like the way most people I know pay for our cell phones, which is I use a certain amount of data, I pay for it at the end of the month. It's essentially a loan. I get the thing up front and I pay later. And so what they've been doing through the Facebook apps, through the free apps in some places, is promoting these loans for the carriers and then allowing people to pay for the loan or pay for their data plan inside the app. And so the idea is kind of like, ooh, I like Facebook. I'm in Facebook. I like the free mode. If I pay a little bit more money, I could get access to more stuff. And so the idea is sort of an enticement for people to pay the carriers. But Facebook is in constant negotiation and constant tension with them about how much they'll give away for free, how much Facebook has to do to make it worth their while. And so one of the things the workers at Facebook point out in these documents is that it's kind of a weird problem to attack because it's not actually bad for the carriers. It's actually kind of like good for the carriers because they get money from it. So it's a problem that doesn't have like a huge financial incentive or huge financial push to solve right away.
Yeah, it does seem like there's an incentive problem here because, like you point out, the carriers aren't necessarily in a hurry to fix this. They're making money. But Facebook also gets something out of this, more users. So is Facebook inclined to solve this problem or to solve it quickly?
The documents say that they've identified a whole bunch of glitches that are responsible for it. And it sounds like they fixed some of them. But these things are really hard. Like, they're deceptively hard to solve because what they need are programs that can identify videos. The Facebook feed is like a fire hose of stuff. And this free mode is supposed to like filter out a small stream from that fire hose of stuff you get for free, which is just supposed to be text. But if the fire hose is shooting you videos and photos and videos and photos, sometimes the software is going to miss it. I think, you know, what it points to is a bigger kind of challenge for Facebook, which is, you know, their business is getting as many users as they can and monetizing those users. And for a lot of reasons, in a lot of different ways, monetizing really poor people is harder and less efficient than monetizing relatively wealthy people. These are like small examples and small data points, but you see big picture, there's less ad revenue when your audience is poor people rather than rich people. There are all these reasons why, you know, it costs a lot more money to bring on incremental people when you have new languages that you need to translate into or you have new countries to move into. So all of these things are kind of difficult technical and business problems that feed into this bigger theme that it's just less efficient for them to get users now.
Let's stay with that bigger theme a bit, because this isn't the first time that Facebook's effort to expand its internet service in developing countries has been criticized. What kind of opposition have they gotten in the past?
So a lot of the opposition in the past has been about how some of their free services have given people limited access to the internet, or in the eyes of critics, have given preference to Facebook products than other things on the internet. And this goes back to this concept called net neutrality, which is sacred to many in the tech industry and has been for a long time, which is the idea that the internet is the same internet for everyone. And portals to the internet should not discriminate against competitors or other companies. They should give people open access to the internet. And the charge by some critics has been that some of Facebook's programs, especially, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, they were introducing browsers and these other programs in places like India, where that the only access to the internet some people had were these free Facebook programs, and they weren't seeing the whole internet. They could only see Facebook stuff and then some limited amount of content Facebook allowed them to see. And critics said, this is not neutral. You're giving people a limited internet that benefits you, Facebook. And at the time, Mark Zuckerberg said something to the effect of, you know, like some internet for free is better than no internet at all. But that argument didn't really sit well with India. And so the Indian government banned some of these free Facebook services because they decided they were not neutral. More recently, Facebook's come up with a new sort of browser portal called Discover that they say does give free access to the internet and can be used to browse text on any website on the internet. That's what Facebook says. They call that the key commitments. But what they say is, you know, based on their own product testing and also based on a study out of UC Irvine, Discover doesn't seem to be functioning consistent with those commitments. What the UC Irvine study found was that there's some redaction, you know, some text is not included, some stuff doesn't show up. And they said the level of functionality differs greatly across websites, is how they put it. So their claim is that it's not actually neutral. It's not giving people the full internet.
And what does it mean for internet users in these poorer countries if their only option maybe for free service isn't exactly free?
Well, you know, it's hard because what's unclear, what Facebook doesn't even really know is this a couple of cents a month to millions and millions of people? Or is this like a couple of dollars a month to, you know, thousands of people? They can kind of estimate the amount of data leaking, but they don't really know how much it's affecting people. And so, you know, one guy we mentioned in the story is a school teacher in Pakistan who, you know, he's being charged like not that much money. You know, it's like he's paying a few dollars a month. He's probably being overcharged a little less than a dollar a month based on his calculations. But he's bringing in like $175 a month, right? And he has a family of four. And while it may not be a huge percentage of his income, when you get to these lower income levels, the marginal amount of money you have left after you pay for rent and food and transportation is like not that much. And so, you know, pennies start to count for people in that position. So I guess they may not be as inclined to go online and use Facebook, but as we've seen, people want and need to communicate. And I think, you know, a lot of people are going to continue to use it regardless.
All right. That's our reporter, Justin Check. Thanks so much for joining us, Justin.
Thank you, Zoe.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.